Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Yes, 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 yes. It's me, your girl, POC. We are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to tune in. Just search Time for an Awakening. You hit me, your girl, POC, live each and every winning Wednesday on Time for an Awakening, man. I'm excited to be back on these airways with you guys. How are you guys doing out there, man? I want to know what you feeling, how you thinking, man. There's so much going on in this world today, man. We just had the Las Vegas. We just got the hurricane down in Puerto Rico. Donald Trump throwing tissues at people, man. It's so much to talk about today, and I want to know what you guys are thinking. Give me a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. You can also follow the Revive platform on Revive underscore POC Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Once again, that's Revive underscore POC on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Man, you're speaking with your girl POC, man. It's a winning Wednesday here on Revive. I'm really excited, y'all. We got your girl Tab Money coming up tonight with Tab Money Habits, hosted by your girl Tab Money around 8:30. So definitely stay tuned. We have an author dropping his book. He's dropping a novel for you guys, a Philly author at that, dropping a book, man. I'm really excited to be speaking with him. Fatal Flawless, man. I want to know what this book is all about. So I know he's going to bring some energy to the show tonight because he's dropping his book. So I know he's geared up and ready to go. We also going to be going to that book signing too in October on the 20th, I believe. So I think this will be exciting. But the book drops on October the 11th. So I'm really excited to have him on the show, man. We got to big up all these Philly artists who are doing things. So I was just on DG on Monday and it's just like, yo, it's so much going on in Philly that people just don't know about because they not out here getting it done. They not out here getting it popping. If they actually get into the, you know, into the scene and the environment, they will really know that Philly has a lot going on. So it's amazing to know that people are really bringing and putting Philly on the map. True, how you feeling today, man? It's another Winning Wednesday on Revive. I got the Revive team in the building as always. I got your girl Harmony the Goddess and True Heart. How you feeling, True Heart?
I'm feeling good. It's definitely a winning Wednesday, and I'm pumped up. I was just at the PA conference for women, so who wouldn't be pumped up after a day like that? So I know we're going to get into that in a little bit, but I'm fired up, and I'm ready to go.
Yes, you wasn't there. I was there. We was there together, man. I'm trying to say, we talking French. We was there, man. It was an amazing time yesterday. Shout out to Michelle Obama, the one and only. She will forever be the first lady to me, man. Shout out to Michelle Obama and Shonda Rhimes. Like, the organic conversation that they had yesterday on that stage was life-giving, honestly, truly. She dropped so many gems. The question of the day yesterday was huge. Really, really huge. She said, what are you doing for yourself exclusively? Like, what are you doing for you, just only you? Like, what are you making sure that you do every 24 a.m. to the p.m. just for you? And that just stood out to me. I'm like, I'm working on my show, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but that's not for me. That's for me and the brand, that's for me and the team. And then I had to sit down and reevaluate, like, yo, like, what am I doing just for me? And her example was that she goes to the gym, like, no matter what time of the day, no matter what, you know, is going on that day, she's going to make sure that she goes to the gym. If she doesn't go to the gym, everything is off for her. You know what I mean? So that is her one thing that she does for her exclusively. So I need to find that exclusive thing for myself, because I'm like, yo, what am I doing for myself right now exclusively? Because I put all my time, like all my AM to my PM into the Revive platform. That is for me. Yes, don't get me wrong, but I mean exclusively for me to get that breath of fresh air. Like, I need to find that. I need to find that exclusive reason. True Heart, what are you doing for yourself exclusively? My bad to put you on the spot. My bad, you over here thinking real hard.
No, it's all good. I'm just blown away by all her sentiments and all her comments, and the conversation between Shonda and Michelle were just true. It's just, it was just breathtaking, and just like you said, it gave me life. But I was thinking about it when she said it. What am I doing exclusively for myself? And I really had to take a step back and really ask myself. And I think that I'm going to go back to working out and going back to the gym, because I think that that's something that you can only do exclusively for yourself. And even if it's not necessarily working out, I think that you can have multiple things that you do for yourself, whether it's yoga, whether it's, you know, just meditating, writing in the journal, writing in, you know, a journal. I think that that's one thing that I'm going to implement in regards to journaling, meditating, and working out. And they all go hand in hand, because self-care is important, and we get pulled left and right and doing this for the family, doing this for your job. But just like she said, what are you doing exactly for yourself? And it's all about protecting your peace, because if you're not protecting your peace, then what exactly are you doing?
I agree with you there. I definitely agree with you there. Picture being one of the 15,000 plus women in that environment yesterday, in that event, like in that, like just the whole like-minded feel, like everyone there was either had their own business, inspiring to start their own business. They, you know, was up and coming. They had something going for them, or they honestly just wanted to be around people who could motivate them and inspire them to even find their why. You know, some people were there just to find the why, you know, to figure out what they want to do in life. And I thought that that was huge. I had a couple conversations with people like that, like, yo, my name's POC. I do X, Y, and Z. I'm like, what are you here for? You know, I'm here to network. And they're like, oh, I'm just here to find my purpose. Like, I'm just here to be in this room, you know, with people who already have it together, so they can help me get it together. And that was life-giving, truly, truly life-giving. So, man, shout out to Michelle Obama. Shout out to Lauren Styles? Leslie Styles. Shout out to Leslie Styles. We got the opportunity to meet the president herself, who got to put the whole shebang together, the one that sent the invitation to Michelle Obama. I'm like, yo, my name is, you know what I'm saying? Like, I need to be a speaker next year at this conference. So that was amazing. The networking in general was just over the top. I got to meet people such as Patty Jackson, ABC, the woman off of ABC, 6ABC, Nadia. That was just really, really dope. Just the networking in general was really, really good. And I really encourage everyone. That's what I always say. Make your network your net worth. It's important that you learn that. It's really, really, truly important that you learn that. Don't just shake someone's hand, get a business card, and go about your day. You never know who you're talking to. Like yesterday, I was just standing there, and the director of marketing from iHeartRadio just walked up to me and started talking. Before he introduced himself, I had no clue who that was, but he knew that I wanted to speak to Patty Jackson. He knew I was interested in radio, blah, blah, blah. And then he just started talking to me. And then he's like, oh, so what are you here for? I'm like, oh, I'm here to speak to Patty. And he's like, oh, my name is X, Y, and Z. I'm the director for Our Heart Media. And I'm like, I'm thinking, like, if this man don't get on my face, he see me trying to get my networking on, and he's sitting over here talking to me. And it's so universal, because I didn't even know that. And when I say make your net worth, it's really, really important that you do that. Trust me, I'm walking, breathing example of that. Yo, Trura, what you was about to say?
No, I was going to say, one, shout out to Kathy Sledge, who from We Are Family. She came out and performed, and it was just such an amazing opportunity to be present and to be able to serve and be able just to be in the room. Nehemiah Davis always says, just getting to the spot. And when I was in school, somebody else said, like, the first key to success is just showing up. You never know what's going to happen after you show up. And I think that it's interesting, because God always shows out, so you're never anywhere by accident. You never know who you're talking to, so just continue. If anybody missed the conference this year, I just hope that you're able to participate and join in next year, because if they had Michelle Obama this year, I can only imagine who they're going to bring next year. It was just a beautiful, beautiful event. What a day to be a woman.
Talk about a day, though. It wasn't just, you know, Michelle, the keynote speaker of the Pennsylvania 2017 Pennsylvania conference. You know, it was their anniversary. It was their 25th year wedding anniversary. Let's just talk about how Barack Obama popped out on the stage. You know, he didn't pop out physically on the stage, but he had a little video going. But the thing about it, he was like, hey, I just want to interrupt for a minute. You know what I'm saying? And by him saying that, you know, when you hear that Barack voice, everybody just start turning around, looking like, yo, is he here? Is he here? And the next, you know, boom, he just pops up on the screen and he just surprises her with a beautiful, beautiful, organic, off the top of the dome, freestyle love message. Like, just so love. He had every woman in there feeling like that was their man. I promise you, we all were like, oh my God. And she's so dope, and she's so real, and she's so dope, because she wrapped it up. As soon as it was over, she was like, oh, I guess that means I gotta go home. You know what I'm saying? Like, had everybody laughing and cheering, like, yo, happy anniversary to you. Thank you for even coming to speak with us on your anniversary. You know who you are. You know what I'm saying? You could turn down anything, but you're like, nah, I'm about to go do this, do that, and then I'm gonna go home to my man. That's really big, yo.
That's love. That's love. And she just kept it so real. She was, she spoke about the current administration. She spoke about being a parent to teenagers. She spoke about technology. She covered so many different topics. And she gave hope to the millennials. And she gave hope to this generation, saying, you know what? I gave up my seat, but I didn't necessarily give up. And I'm going to not stipe. I'm going to not continue to fight for the issue. She gave up so somebody else can rise to power and continue on what they left off. And I think that was ultimately the message. It was, one, we are a family. Like, we're all in this together as women, as, you know, as just as coming together and really making a change. But it was also, she also came from a point of, you don't have to get in the spot and just stay there. Make sure that you're pulling the next person up. So if that's one thing that I learned, just as women, we shade each other a lot, and it's just important to empower one another. So one day at a time, we can do it.
I definitely, definitely, definitely agree with you on that, man. Shout out to Michelle Obama once again. Shout out to Shonda Rhimes. And then super shout out to Leslie Stiles for putting that together. I will definitely be seeing Leslie next year. I'm trying to be a speaker, man.
And shout out to Amy, the volunteer coordinator, because she did her thing. And shout out to the PA Convention Center, because 12,000 plus people came out and it was flawless. The execution was flawless. The catering, everything that they did, you can tell that they're not new to it. They're true to it. So shout out to Philly for even holding the event. So I'm just really excited for the future, because I definitely either will be on the planning committee or be a speaker. I'm speaking into existence.
And definitely a huge shout out to Philly. And that's why I'm about to bring this next guest onto the platform. Well, once again, I'm really excited to be talking with him, because he's going to be dropping a book for us, man. It's going to be amazing. I need you guys to pick this book up. I need you guys to reach out to this gentleman, because the book signing is coming really soon, really, really soon, October 20th. And I need all of you to be there to grab a copy of this book. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after the quick commercial break, we will have our first guest come up on the Revive platform. We'll be right back. Once again, it's Meet Your Girl POC. Spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now. I'm on the airways from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
The one person who may have information on the reclusive gunman's motive arrived in the United States on Tuesday night. FBI agents escorted Stephen Paddock's girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley, through Los Angeles Airport when she landed from the Philippines. Police say she was overseas during Sunday's shooting, but will be questioned about the cache of weapons found in Paddock's hotel room and inside the two homes the couple shared.
Currently, 47 firearms have been recovered. These firearms were recovered from three different locations. Those locations consisted of the hotel room, as well as Verde and Mesquite, Nevada. They were purchased in Nevada, Utah, California, and Texas. The gunmen purchased rifles, shotguns, and pistols.
Police have released body camera video of the shootings from the Mandalay Bay Hotel as 20,000 concertgoers ran and hid from the barrage of bullets coming from above. Police officers struggled to locate the source of the gunfire.
He fired off and on for somewhere between 9 and 11 minutes.
Police say Paddock, holed up inside a hotel suite on the 32nd floor, installed a camera in the door's peephole and two more in the hallway to monitor the approach of police. A hotel security guard was shot in the leg as he neared Paddock's suite. SWAT officers broke in hours later to find he'd committed suicide.
We had patrol officers actually working another event at the Mandalay Bay who heard the shooting, and they took it upon themselves to form up into a team, enter the stairwell, begin ascending the floors, and also evacuating hotel guests.
Paddock's family history is also emerging. His father, Benjamin Paddock, was at one time on the FBI's most wanted list for bank robbery and theft.
Tim Bonderson, The Washington Post. You talked before about the White House visit and how this whole thing has become pretty important to you. I know you said to Rachel before that you want it to be a statement, that you guys are making a statement by not going. That's kind of your opinion on it. What kind of statement do you want to make by doing that? And you're not exactly Draymond in terms of kind of taking forceful positions on things all the time. Why have you decided that this is something you really want to make a big statement about?
Is I don't want to go. That's really it. I mean, that's kind of the nucleus of my belief. And I think it is different. It's not just me going to the White House. If it was, this would be a pretty short conversation. But it's, like I said, it's the organization, it's the team. And it's hard to say because I don't know exactly what we're going to do in lieu of, or if we do go, if we don't go, or whatever. But my beliefs stay the same. So I have a better answer for that once I can kind of understand where the group is, too.
What do you want that statement to be?
Like, oh, you mean if that were the case?
Yeah, like what? Like you've said you want to make that to be a statement. Like, you know, you guys would make a statement by...
We don't stand for basically what our president has... The things that he said and the things that... that he hasn't said in the right times, that we won't stand for it. And by acting and not going, hopefully that will inspire some change.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Hey. Proof of consciousness.
Yes, 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 yes. It's me, your girl POC. We're back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to TuneIn. You can download the app or go directly to the search toolbar and just type Time for an Awakening. You hit me, your girl POC, live on this airway from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We have our first guest coming up. You can also follow us on Revive_POC, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can stay in the loop. If you have a question, anything you want us to read live on air, just comment, give us a call, 215-490-9832. Yo, Truart, who's the first guest coming up live on Revive?
The first guest coming up on Revive is author Salim Roberts. Salim is a creative visionary with over 10 years of experience in the fashion and entertainment industry. He has worked on various film and television projects. Roberts also served on the design team for featured film Brotherly Love, produced by Flavor Unit and Sony Pictures. Roberts has built a thriving fashion business with the popularity of his two clothing brands. His journey in the fashion and film industry continues as his new enterprise, Fatally Flawless, is just evolving. Welcome, Salim Roberts, to the Revive Platform.
Hey, how are you?
How are you doing, Mr. Roberts? I'm excited to be speaking with you today. I've been doing a little bit of research about your book, and it's huge to see what you're doing with, you know, some black and white words. It's amazing to see what you're doing. You're pretty much putting like a whole movie in a book. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started with the book.
I'm a West Philly native, born and raised. I actually not too far from Will Smith. You know, he's a big inspiration.
Awesome.
For me, I went to Overbrook High School. I'm just a Philly boy with big dreams. I've always, had aspirations, you know, for a bigger success in entertainment, and I've just always just worked hard to achieve them.
Awesome. So how did you get this vision, though? Fatally Flawless. Like, how did you get this vision? Because I heard it started out as a movie and then it turned into a book. How did you get that vision?
The Ratchet Girls. I went to high school.
I love it.
And just like urban life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up, in the hood. And it's, you know, so it's like just watching the drug dealers, watching, you know, the girls, you know, the glamour, the clothes, the cars, and just a lot that came with it, because I had a lot of friends that got caught up in the streets, and, you know, and it's not always pretty, so I wanted to paint a picture of the glitz and the glamour, but at the same time, just make it based on reality, because, you know, we all got choices, and just, you know, everything that glitters ain't gold.
I'm with
so
you on that one.
So it starts off with three best friends.
Hold on, but before you do that, before you break it down to us, how did you come up with the name? How did you come up with the actual name for the book and the movie, Fatally Flawless?
Well, honestly, you know what? It was for a while I didn't have a name. It was so, because the book was, it took me over like 7-8 years to really finish it. I just really literally turned it into my publisher a few months back. And I really just couldn't come up with a name. And then, you know, at that time when Beyonce had the Flawless, I wake up, Flawless, okay. You know, flossing up on Flawless. Like, it was flawless. And I was just like, okay, the girls are flawless. They all pretty girls. But then it's a lot of street drama and chaos that happens. And I said, fatally, FF. So it just kind of came together.
Awesome. So you got like a whole story behind it. See, that's why I was like, no, we got to get into this name first, because you got a whole story behind it. That's what's up. And it just stuck with you. And from there, you was like, I'm going to create the movie.
I shot it around to a few people, you know, friends of mine, like, how do you feel about that name? You know, and I would ask people and they would be like, oh, I like that. It flows. And yeah, it matches. It rolls off the tongue good.
So
at first, it was actually the novel came first.
Oh, okay,
and
okay.
I met my writing partner, Sophia Bison, and, you know, I had a boutique on South Street called Belargo, and she came into the boutique, and, you know, me and her were talking, and I sent her three chapters of the story, and she's like, oh, my God, we need to turn this into a movie. And I'm like, girl, how are we going to turn this into a movie? I'm like, I was just trying to release my little book, but we sat down with some investors, we wrote the script, did a casting in August of 2015, and it just took off, and we just started, and we created something very, very good.
So it, the project actually began in 2015? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The film project, yes.
The film project.
Yeah, the film project started filming in December of 2015.
Awesome. That's amazing. So has it evolved over time? Like, is it the same story, or have you added any extras into it?
We actually did. We added some extras to make the story a little bit bigger, and to make it, you know, more exciting. It's a 2-hour feature film. It's no joke. It's about the same length of True to the Game, the film that was just released by Terry Woods that just came out. 2-hour film.
Awesome. So I see that you have some really dope people in here, like Charlie Baltimore, PNB Brock. How did you get the cast together? Like, how did you know who you actually wanted to be on set with you, you know, as you were creating your film? Is this your first film, by the way?
It is my first film.
Awesome. Congratulations.
For the leads, I wanted young people. I wanted unknowns. I wanted real. I didn't want nobody 30 years old playing a teenager. So I actually, you know, just did some raw cast and then found some really amazing talent here in Philadelphia. Like Crambella, I don't know if you're familiar with her, female rapper from Philly. Like, she is amazing in this. Mookie Mook is in it. And the rest of the cast is pretty new. Young, just young, vibrant, talented people. And some celebrity favors I had to pull in because of my brand. Like, Charlie Baltimore is like family to me. I've been knowing her my whole life since I was probably 14 years old. I love her. She's like been a big sister to me. So when I called and asked for a favor, she jumped right on it. And PNB Rock, I've been working with him since the start of his career. Like, video, I'm actually in the Fleek video. His first video for Atlantic Records. I'm in the opening of the video, and I styled him for a while. And, you know, his whole team is just like big bros and family to me. So when I called, he actually did a scene for free. He didn't charge me at all. And that was dope. And then I also have Mark Jeffries in the film as well. He's, you know, he plays Little Caesar Notorious. Mm-hmm. He played Luther and Isaiah, Halle Berry's son. Mm-hmm. And he also was in Brotherly Love. And he played 50 Cent and Get Rich.
I'm gonna Get Rich Without Trying. Exactly, that was a hit for him, for real, for real. So, is he from Philly?
That's like my bro.
Is a lot of people in your cast? So, is a lot of people in your cast from Philly though? Because it sounds like you got a lot of Philly love in here.
Everybody's from Philly except for Mark.
Okay, okay. It's because it really sounds like you got a lot of Philly love in here. And that's one thing that I really like about what you're doing is because you're bringing it together. Because like I was saying, like, Philly has a really bad rap, you know, about being, you know, crabs in a barrel, people trying to step on each other to come up, things of that nature. But what you're doing is something different. You're like bringing Philly together. You're bringing back that brotherly love. And that's why one of the real reasons why I wanted to speak with you. So how did you come up with that concept? Like, you wanted to get, you know, so Philly with it, you know, that Meek Mill so Philly with it. Like, how you know you wanted to get so Philly with it?
I mean, it's a Philly story, you know what I mean? It takes place in Overbrook High School, and, you know, in the late 90s, and it's in, you know, early 2000s, and it's just about, you know, West Philly, North Philly, like, it's South Philly, it's every part of Philly, Germantown mentioned, Uptown. I captured every part of the city, because, you know, like, I feel like we have such an interesting, diverse, in Philly, we have our own slang, we have our own style, and, you know, writing these characters, these are just, like, relatable characters that anybody can relate to. It's love story. It's street stuff. It's drama. It's, you know, a group of girlfriends that have this whole bond and, you know, like, riding together. So it is a Philly story.
That's amazing. Shout out to you, man. I can't wait to it. The book drop. So let's get into this book, because your book is, you having your book signing on the 20th, correct?
Yes, at Barnes & Noble's in Rittenhouse Square at 21st and Walnut.
So what made you want to turn it from a movie to a book? But you did say earlier that the novel actually came first. So how does that work?
It all started with the novel. Because, as I said, I grew up in West Philly, Overbrook, Winfield area. And, you know, I went to school with some fly girls. I went to school with girls, young girls that was ahead of their time. That was definitely, you know, leveling up early and getting out there. And I just watched them, you know, live vicariously through their experiences. So I kind of already knew how I wanted to paint the characters. And one day I actually was sick, and I just took a composition notebook, and it was snowing outside, it was some years ago. I started writing, and I just started creating this world and these characters and creating the outline, and I just kept writing and writing and putting this thing together, and then it came about.
So what is the hype, though? Like, why should somebody come purchase your book? Tell us right now, like, why should we come get this book on the 20th of October? Why we should be in Barnes & Noble?
It's nothing like this. And I'm not hyping myself. I get busy with the pen. Like,
you know, I love,
like,
it. Yes.
When Hov say how he the nicest, when you see me saying I'm hot, Rick Ross, whoever, like, I get busy with this pen. It's
I love it. You better trademark that right now, because somebody listening might take that from you. Trademark that one, man.
You know what? I'm going to take you up on it. It's a good read. It's a pure good read. If you're into urban lit, my characters are well written. It's not repetitive. I'm taking you on a journey. It's 350 pages. It's just you see. Once you're in it, you're not gonna put it down until the end. Like, this is a book where, honestly, from chapter one until the last chapter, you're gonna be all the way in. You might read it twice, just because of the character development. You know what I mean? If you like Black Love, you know, it's youthful, it's young, vibrant energy. You know, on the verge of adulthood. How everybody, it's a coming of age tale, and you know, it's told by three females' perspective of best friends. You know, and each in the men they're dealing with, and some of the men are bad, and some of them are good. But either way, you're going to be like, you know, you're just going to be so rooting for a good outcome for each of these girls. And we've never seen the street story told from a woman's perspective. Usually, the women are the background in these situations and these stories. And I don't, I'm a big woman supporter. You know what I mean? So I feel like women are powerful. I feel like women are strong, and I feel like women don't get enough credit just being the whole. Or just the groupies that they're portrayed in these rap videos or in other urban fiction. Like, I, you know, my girls are very three-dimensional, and they get busy.
I'm with you on that. I hear you. And because you say you get busy with the pen, right? So how do you stay inspired? What inspires you?
It's for me, creativity and writing and creating characters and creating worlds. And, you know, it's like you're almost playing God. It's like you can determine from chapter one what is going to happen with each person. You're going to
see the outcome.
Who gets pregnant? Who goes to jail? You determine who's going to fall in love. You know, and it's like it's your domain, and that keeps me going because I get to, you know, evolve my story and elevate. You know what I mean? Some of my characters, they start off in the book at 16, 17. And then we see them at 28. So it's like, you know, we get to see their growth and coming. It's from girls to women.
That's what's
so
up.
That keeps me motivated.
I'm with you on that one. So pretty much the characters in your book continues to inspire you over and over and over again.
I love them. I see them in my head over and over and
That's
over. It's
up.
Like, you know, J.K. Rowling, the woman who is amazing. She wrote Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. She had over 5,000 characters in that whole series of Harry Potter, and she knows each one of them, you know, every single detail of each character. And that's how it is for me. Like, you know, Fatally Flawless, I probably have about maybe 50 to 100 characters. And I know every one of them. I can, you know, I know how to write from their perspective, from their point of view, their characteristics, and keeping it growing without it getting boring or without you saying, well, damn, you know, she sure changed from, you know, chapter one to chapter three. She's a whole nother girl. Like, no, each girl is consistent. And it's like being a rap artist or, you know, being a fashion designer. You have to do what you love, or if you're a singer. So, you know, writing for me, I love. I want to be, you know, a film production, a producer and a writer, in the veins of a Lee Daniels, who is also from my neighborhood. Shout out to Lee Daniels Empire. Like, he's a big inspiration, or Tyler Perry. Those
See, Philly's in the
idol,
building.
And that's where I want to go.
That's crazy, man. People don't really understand, like, how many greats have really came from the city of Philadelphia, man. A lot of big people either started in Philly or came from Philly or had some kind of, you know, spent some kind of time in Philly, you know, to help them get where they're going. So Philly does make a lot of great, 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 great people. So, but my question to you, though, you said what?
There's so many Philly, you know, talent, and
so much,
you know,
talent.
I get inspired by so many. I mean, whether it's like Little Uzi, you know, or Eve, or a PNB Rock, or a Jill Scott, or a Music Soul Child, you know, Will Smith. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but so many people from Philly that I look up to and I admire and I aspire to be like.
You forgot about Bill Cosby.
I don't want to touch on that because I have my own views on Mr. Cosby. And,
I got you.
I believe he was giving out that candy.
All right, let's get to the next subject. We don't want them people coming after us. But what's up next for you? So the book drops on the 20th, but I know you're going to keep going because 2017 is your year. You've been claimed that. So what's next? How are you finishing this year strong?
Well, I might be going Miami to the BT Hip Hop Awards.
Awesome.
This weekend. A friend of mine is just told me he might be surprising me with a ticket. So it's Cardi B and Offset.
Oh, that's gonna be huge,
that's
right?
One of my, that's one of my missions. But to finish the year off, the film release is coming in December. We're doing final edits and audio adjustments I'll be on Good Day Philadelphia with Alex and Mike, either Monday or Tuesday. I'll be in New York doing some runs. And it's just about winning Best Philly Hip Hop Awards this year, because I got it hands down. Ain't nobody taking it from me.
Claim it. So, speaking it to existence.
And just more projects. Like, I have a writing project that I really can't speak of, but it's for a big-time African-American actor. It's a script that his production company may be purchasing from me and my writing partner. We just got our fingers crossed on it that the deal goes through. And it's just about evolving and continuing to, you know, I have a novel called Material Boys that's going to be my next project that should be coming in June of 2018. And just bossing up and just continuing, you know, my legacy until I get to where Tyler and Lee Daniels is.
Yes. You're going to surpass them, man. They're going to be looking at you saying you're the next status. You know what I'm saying? You're going to surpass them, because I believe in you and I know you're going to get it done. And I'm definitely going to come see you on the 20th. I'm going to be doing some media down there for you and your book sign on the 20th. So can't wait to meet you in person.
So
yes, definitely. And go ahead and give yourself a shout out. Go ahead and tell the people where they can find you, where they can pre-order some books. Definitely plug yourself in real quick before we go ahead and wrap this up.
Okay, cool. Well, you can follow me. I'm usually on Instagram. Salim_Vanderpump is my Instagram name. You know, follow me on there. There's always something on my page. My page is always popping. You can follow me at Mr. Cherry Pie on Twitter. And I'm Khalil Salim Roberts on Facebook. And you can pre-order the book at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, or Target. .com. You know, you'll get it. The book is actually released on the 10th, 25th book signing, but the 10th. So if you order your books now, you'll receive them. They'll be shipping everything out on the 9th or the 10th. So you'll have your book in hand for your purchase. And, you know, I just appreciate you having me on the show. And Fatally Flawless Movie on Instagram. That's our movie page. Again, that's Fatally Flawless Movie on Instagram. You could check out all updates for upcoming ticket locations and watching for when tickets will go on sale for the film.
Definitely. Thank you once again, Salim, for coming on the show and supporting us here on Revive. We'll be there on the 20th. I can't wait to meet you in person. Good luck with everything. I wish you the best.
Me too. Thank you so much. And everybody, pray for Las Vegas. Let's keep Vegas in our
definitely.
Prayers. Let's keep Puerto Rico in our prayers. Let's keep, you know, Dominican Republic. You know, I mean, just every, you know, just all the tragedies in Houston. It's, you know, let's just pray for the USA. Let's just pray we make it through 2018.
Definitely. Thank you for waking the people up with that message right there. They needed to hear that from somebody else. I appreciate that one.
Yes, got you. And have a great night. Thank you.
You too. That wraps up a really great interview with Salim Roberts, man. All you guys, go cop that book right now. Go cop that book right now. Fatally Flawless. Go follow him on Facebook and Instagram right now, man. He's the guy. Philly, if you in Philly right now, go be there on the 20th. The 20th of October, Barnes & Nobles. It's going to be on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can find how you can pre-order the book and also how you can go to the book signing on the 20th. Once again, the book drops on the 10th. Go support your hometown, man. Go support your hometown. Right up next. Next, we're going to have your girl Tab Money with Tab Money Habits. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. You're live with your girl POC on this Winning Wednesday. Make sure you spread the word, spread the message each and every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. I'll be right back.
I'm assuming that's Colin Kaepernick.
This is
right?
Absolutely Colin
with
Kaepernick. This is why I gave Stephen A. Smith donkey today.
Yeah,
I didn't like his views on Colin Kaepernick.
Tell us about the shirt and your take on Colin.
I mean, this is just a shirt representing Colin Kaepernick. I feel like, you know, Colin Kaepernick should not be getting punished for doing the right thing. I mean, Colin Kaepernick decided to take a stand by not standing, and he took a stand against people that are being marginalized and oppressed in this country. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I think he should be saluted and commended for that, actually.
Well,
he supported that.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because when you talk about Donkey of the Day and you said that's one of the times you gave it to me, that's fair. Mm-hmm. But I don't hear you saying a single word just now that I disagreed with.
Okay.
So what's the problem? Well, I mean, where did the problem lie in terms of what I had to say about Colin Kaepernick?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you said that his words didn't mean anything because he said he didn't vote.
What I was saying, yeah, that's to paraphrase, not exactly, but that's close enough. My position is clear, and I know that you have an idea about history. You know a little something about history, if
Absolutely.
Not more than me, more than a lot of people. All I was trying to say was that the number one instrument, the number one tool that we have in our nation today, to provoke change is the power to vote. You talk to a lot of black folks, old school, you know, people like Joe Madison and others, people that marched, people that bled and risked their lives for us to have the right to vote. For him to come out publicly, and I should not have said it was that he voted or not voted. My real issue with him is that he publicized the fact that he didn't vote as if to encourage others not to do so as well. And I thought that was counterproductive and counter to everything that he said he was trying to accomplish. To that, you say what?
You know, there's other ways to make change.
And I agree with that.
You know, Malcolm X, who's one of our greatest civil rights leaders ever. I don't know if you ever heard The Ballad of the Bullet.
Yes.
He said to sit on your vote, too, if what you want is not actually on that ballot. So, I mean, you
times were different then, too.
Yeah, but you wouldn't discredit Malcolm X as a leader. So I'm not going to discredit Colin Kaepernick just because he decided to not vote.
21st century.
Man, it is hot today. Whoa, it's hot out here, man. It is hot today.
Arsenic, formaldehyde, hydrogen cyanide, carbon monoxide. These are just a few of the 7,000 chemicals that can be traced from cigarettes. Tobacco-related deaths are expected to rise to around 8 million annual deaths worldwide by the year 2030. Put down the cigarette and don't be one of those people.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC.
We are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's me, your girl, POC, each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tune in. We will also be live this Sunday, you guys. I'm coming back on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tune in each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I will be live on the airwaves this Sunday, man. Tune in. Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at revive_POC. Man, huge shout out to Miss Jessie. She gonna text Harmony and say, if she say, awesome one more time. I do say awesome a lot, my bad. But thank you for listening and thank you for your support. Huge, huge, huge shout out to the whole Canty family. But we do have Tab Money coming up on Revive tonight. Yo, Tab Money, you out there? How you feeling?
What's going on? How are you?
Tab Money, throw that money, Tab Money. You already know. How you feeling, Tab? How you feeling?
It's a great day, awesome day. I'm another one. We just alike because I say awesome too.
Awesome, man. Awesome. That's my thing. If I'm feeling it, you know what I'm saying? Which, see, you feeling me, Tab? You feeling me? You here with it? But yo, what's the lesson plan for today? What's Tab Money got for us? Let's jump right into it. I'm a little late on the time, I bet.
It's all good. So we getting right into it. So the lesson for today is making money while you sleep. So I'm gonna piggyback off of what we was doing last week. What we had Khadija on the line. We was talking about IRAs and 401ks and investing in ourselves and making sure we have our retirement plan set up, because that's the easiest way for us to make money while we sleep is to have our retirement plan. So POC, True Heart, y'all both in the building. I'm going to ask y'all some quick recap questions. What is an IRA? What does the acronym stand for?
I want to say individualized retirement account, but I'm not too confident in the I, but I know the rest is retirement account.
That is correct. It's individual retirement account. Awesome.
Individual. Oh, thank you. Yes.
Super loser. Awesome.
And then so PLC, do you remember what we talked about? What is a 401k?
Yes, a 401k is the thing that the white people give you, the white man gives you, when you go get a job. It's like, nah, a 401k is something that it's your just pretty much your retirement savings. You can pretty much it comes out of your salary. You are either matched by your job or it's just something of a percentage that comes out of your check every, you know, time you get paid.
Agreed. So basically what it is, it's a retirement account that is provided through your career or through your job.
That is taxed, though. Can you throw that in there? It is taxed.
I mean, it depends. It depends on, though, because we also, that was going to be my next recap question, is what's the difference between Roth and traditional? Because if you were paying attention last week, we discussed that Roth was the after-tax, and then we also discussed that traditional was the pre-tax. So it depends on what program that you sign up, whether it's a Roth 401k or traditional 401k determines on what kind of taxes. Are you going to get it beforehand in the future, or are you going to get the taxes taken out now in the present?
All right, I want to say something. I am going to sound like an average American right now and say that that's not fair. And I know nothing is fair in America, but I'm just saying that that's not fair. I don't think that we should be taxed on money that's coming out a percentage is coming out of our compensation. We work for the money. We save this money. So when we stop working, we will have money, you know, for us to continue our lives. And then they go and tax that money. It's outrageous. It's money that's pretty much a savings, not something that, you know, that should be taxed, in my opinion. I'm trying to say it in the best way without sounding super ignorant, but I honestly truly think that that's not cool, though, that they have the ability to tax our 401ks or the money for the 401k, especially if you pull out early. Like, picture for the people who pull out early, you know how much taxes they have to pay back on that?
So, and that's the whole thing, though, too, that we was having a conversation, because even I came to Philly and I helped True Heart set hers up side by side with her. And we discussed the difference between Roth and traditional, and she kept reiterating, like, what's the difference? Do I want the taxes taken out now in the present, or do I want the taxes taken out now in the future? Well, not now, taken out in the future when it's time for me to withdraw. And pretty much, you already know how America is. We got to pay taxes on everything, so it's not like you're going to get around taxes. But there are some tax benefits that you do get back from paying taxes on your 401k or your IRA as well. So if you're doing the after tax or if you're doing the pre-tax, you should also get the, it's almost like a synonym to a W-2 that you get at the end of it for your job. You'll get the same thing from your retirement account. And then you can also include that, to give that to your tax preparer at the end of the tax year to go along with your taxes to file for that money back.
Okay.
So there is some tax benefits too. Yeah, there is some tax benefits to your retirement account, but there's no getting around paying taxes at all. It's just, we live in America, it's not fair.
Donald Trump got around. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, got around. And Tab, I also want to play something for you, too. Yo, Tab, I need to play this for you because we talking budgets, right? And I want to hear, I want you to hear what the president of the United States said today about the budgets. You got time for me real quick? Let me just play this for you. I know you don't get into politics, but I really want to play this for you because this kind of, you know, goes into the whole financial literacy thing as well. Take a listen to this. I want everybody to listen to this, definitely.
President Donald Trump and his wife Melania are now in Puerto Rico meeting local officials and victims of Hurricane Maria, which blasted across the island almost 2 weeks ago. Trump's administration is being criticized by local officials for the way it's handling the crisis. They say it's taking too long to get help to people who need it and to repair the island's devastated infrastructure. But Trump has fired back, calling local relief efforts inadequate and urging Puerto Ricans to do more to help themselves. Trump's first stop in Puerto Rico was an American base where he met the governor and people who've been leading the relief effort. He told them all what a great job they're doing and asked them to return the favor.
It was a great trip. I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives. If you look at the every death is a horror, but if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina, and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. Now, what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified. 16 people versus in the thousands. You can be very proud of all of your people, all of our people working together. 16 versus literally thousands of people.
I want to personally thank you, Mr. President, because, you know, over the course of the past week.
Yo, Tab, Donald Trump said Puerto Rico was throwing the budget out of whack, Tab. How?
I mean, in a sense that he is true, because now, like, since they we talked about planning ahead, since they didn't plan for natural disasters, since the budget for natural disaster recovery is slim to none, if you don't have the budget to recover after the natural disaster, your budget is going to be impacted. The same way if you don't plan for to get evicted, the same way you don't plan for a flood to come in your house.
Facts.
Due to water. If you're not saving for these disasters, then of course your budget is going to be impacted. And it depends on how much you're prepared on the consequences of your budget. So I definitely agree with him says that because he's not ready. Most of his budget is his money is going somewhere else, mainly to the military. And yeah, there are no plans for mental health. There's no plans for natural disasters. And my whole thing is like, man, you.
I love how you slid the mental health in there. That was the plug.
Is that. I think there's a whole natural disaster gentrification process that's going on for people displaced, people in these islands and in these small countries, and then they come over and take over the infrastructure. Because you got to think about it also, like, why is it Puerto Rico, which is a U.S. territory?
Tab, you kind of went out real quick.
Well, my main question was, like, why is Puerto Rico a U.S. territory not in the budget? Like, that just makes me think of stuff like that. Why is the little stuff that's going on in the world, the small things, going back to what you and I were talking about this weekend, it's like, why isn't the small things prepared for in the budget?
That
or planned ahead in the budget?
And that's why I wanted to throw this little, you know, Trump message in there, too, because, you know, you get on here every second or fourth Wednesday and you talk about financial literacy, paying yourself first, saving and investing. And for emergencies like this, I wanted you to talk on that a little bit, just in general. You know what I mean? You don't have to address what Trump said, but just in general, when it comes to emergencies, of how serious it is for you to save and how serious it is for you to pay yourself. So for unfortunate circumstances such as this one where, you know, the city or the town or the state that you're in cannot, you know, do what they're supposed to do to help you out. So can you touch on that a little bit to say why, you know, like why emergency savings are so important?
Yeah, so like I was saying, like, I don't know if I got cut off when I was saying it, but yeah, the whole thing is like preparing for disasters or preparing for unforeseen circumstances that happens is the reason why we need to plan ahead for your budget. So for bringing it to real life, are you planning to be evicted? So are you planning for a flood to happen? Are you planning for these disasters that pop up in our life out of nowhere, for your car to stop working, or you ran out of gas, or different things like that? Are you planning ahead for risk? Are you foreseeing risks that may potentially occur in your life and your financial lifestyle and your everyday lifestyle? And that's, for me, is like why I say it's kind of true for him saying that his budget has been impacted, because it has. If he hasn't been planning for natural disasters to happen, then of course your budget is going to be impacted, because now you have to shift your money around to cover these financials due to a loss.
Definitely. I don't agree with that one though, Tab, but I hear you, but I don't agree with that. But right now we are speaking with girl Tab Money with Tab Money Habits Live on Revive each and every second and fourth Wednesday here on Revive. Spread the word, spread the message. Right now we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go directly to tune in. Just search for Time for an Awakening. Hit meet your girl POC with your girl Tab Money each and every winning Wednesday. Yo, so Tab, but my question is, right? So just to break it down, and you know, to get a little mathematical with it, right? How would you say, like, how would you break it down? Like, should they save an additional 20% for emergencies such as, you know, evictions or natural disasters for people who live in, you know, those kind of areas where natural disasters actually happen, you know, where it can, an outcome like this can actually happen? Like, how would you break it down mathematically for someone who lives in those areas, or for someone who has experienced that, you know, who's going through it and is listening to us right now?
Breaking it down is going back to like the first and the second segment episode here on Revive, which have money habits, when I say have multiple savings accounts. So we already know that we save a 10% for our retirement or a rainy day when we want to have a comfortable safety net. And then we want to know that we also want to have a miscellaneous for natural disasters or for unforeseen circumstances. So yeah, we might want to put maybe 5 to 10% in that savings account. Say if we want to have a traveling savings account, say if we want to have a shopping savings account, or say if we want to have a savings account for our kids to go to college savings fund. You have to have multiple savings account. And I'm not the person to say 20% in your natural disaster savings account is sufficient. Because if you live in a place like Puerto Rico where you're surrounded by water, and the likely possibility for natural disasters to happen is the greater than for natural disasters to happen in Texas, or greater for natural disasters to happen in New Orleans, so, and then vice versa with Florida as well. So it's really subjective to the person. But I definitely suggest that you have a savings account, and I'm always going to start with 10%. Minimum. Whatever you do, 10% of your income, you should be good over time, over a couple of years. By the end of the year, you should reap what you harvest.
All right, and last question, because I do want to jump back into the lesson plan. So I do have another question, right, in regards to the whole natural disaster savings, right? So would you advise that someone who is saving for a natural disaster because they live in this area where, you know, a natural disaster can occur, right? Would you advise that they spend, like if someone was, you know, for example, for Puerto Rico, they probably got a 2 to 3 day notice that it was coming, or a week's notice, whatever, that it was coming, right? Would you advise that someone go and cash out on their savings account as soon as they hear about the natural disaster, so they can have, you know, the money on hand, it becomes liquid asset? Or would you say keep it in there till it happens, and after it happens, then, you know, go in and try to get into that savings and build what you actually need to build, instead of, you know, going in and preparing, because you talked about preparing first. So should they prepare themselves with that money, you know, buying the generators, the food and all that stuff with that money, or should they wait until the disaster happens and then go get the money? Like, how should they plan that out?
So I have two responses, and one being biased. I'm going to start with my biased answer first, which is to take everything out. Especially because it kind of, the comparisons I got in my head is Puerto Rico, which is a U.S. territory. So your money and your bank still be safe because it is U.S. But then coming from this real example that we just had with our current president, and then Puerto Rico being a U.S. territory, and the help and the relief that we're providing to them is not showing that our banks are still stable after a natural disaster. And then if comparing it to Haiti, where they're not a part of our territory, and their infrastructure and their economy based after the natural disaster, is that I will pull my money out before, because I don't know what the rebuild is going to look like after the aftermath. And that kind of goes into me with my Roth decisions on my IRA or my 401ks, is because I want you to take out the taxes now versus in the future, because I don't know what the future is going to entail. So, yeah, I would take all my money out now, because I don't know how much the dollar is going to be worth in Haiti. I'm not sure what their currency is, but I'm not sure how much their currency is going to be worth after the natural disaster. So I would want to have all of my liquid assets on hand so I can know what I'm working with, and so that my money won't be dependent or impacted based on the bank.
That makes sense. And what was your other suggestion?
My other suggestion is, like, for example, like Puerto Rico, is that the president is subjective, because you don't know what president you will get every 4 years. But if the president has some sense for the infrastructure and the economy to still bounce back after a natural disaster in a U.S. territory such as Puerto Rico, the money should still be safe. Like, the banks shouldn't have to use money, because, you know, banks borrow the money that we put into the bank to do whatever they need to do to get funding, to make investments, and, yeah, that's the process. So if a natural disaster happens and then the bank uses our money to recover from the natural disaster, now we don't have personal funds to bounce back for ourselves. That's kind of where I think keeping what we as a community, as a society, are able to bounce back as a collective. But the way that our bank system and our financial system is set up, it doesn't work like that. That's why I kind of go with my biased answer. Because technically it could work, or in theory it could work, but it's just not happening in real life.
I'm with it. Thank you for that, Tab. I know I kind of swayed off topic a little bit, but I needed you to touch on that, because a lot of people are going through a crisis right now because of the natural disasters. You know, people who were in Houston and Texas, you know, people who were in the islands, you know, it's just so many different people who were affected by these, you know, hurricanes that just happened recently. And they're now looking for, you know, financial help. They're now looking for some kind of financial literacy. You know, they're looking for someone to explain to them what's next, and I hope whoever's listening to us right now listened to you and heard you and they took something away from that, because that is huge. You know, a lot of people are really looking for a way out. People are looking for handouts right now. They're looking for the government, you know, their local government, their state government, to help them out, and that's not necessarily what's happening. You know, the president of the United States just said today that you're throwing the budget out of whack. Like, he even told them that he's not going to provide them with food stamps so they can get hot meals. Like, everything that Puerto Rico is getting right now is really just from donations and people, you know, sending money over there. So that's just huge to know that you got to get the money out the bank. So, you know, just in case anything happened, the currency of the dollar can go down, won't be worth the same, anything like that no more. That's huge. People don't really think like that when they're in a time of crunch, you know, time crunch. So thank you.
And then my thing is, too, is also, like, you were taking all your money out the bank. I'm not going to take it out of all the savings. I don't immediately just go in and withdraw from your IRA account that you have for 50 or 10 or 40, 30 plus years because of a natural disaster. What I'm saying is that your immediate cash is that you want to have at least 2 to 3 months worth of rent, food supply. Even like I was even talking about in my household, like I didn't even know where I'm at. Like, a potential flood or hurricane is not even possible to do the damage, but we don't have no blow up boats in the house, like along with our first aid kit, so we can be ready for if something hit the fans. Like, oh, we got this and we got that. We're prepared. Literally, we have food supply, we have batteries, we have flashlights, we have portable phone chargers. Just little things like that, just staying prepared. And then people is like, oh, you shouldn't live in fear. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, boom, boom, boom. But preparation prevent piss poor performance. So if you want to show up and be ready for everything, just be ready for whatever happens and know that you're still going to be good at the end of the day because you were prepared and you planned ahead for this risk.
That's what it's all about, being prepared. Prevention is huge. I agree with you on that. Yo, you got a first aid kit in your crib?
Yeah, I got a first aid kit in the crib.
Oh yeah, I don't even think like that. That's huge. I might just look into that. I know I asked my landlord for a fire extinguisher. I did do that.
Everything got a tent. Like, you never know what's going to happen, so you got to just be ready. Like, if they be like, oh, Ty, we got to evacuate tomorrow. Like, we getting on our bicycles and we out. Like, the cars bicycle. Don't work. We got the blow-up boat. Like, we got everything you could possibly name in case any situation was to go down. So, like, you just got to be ready. Stay ready.
I'm with that. I never thought about a first aid kit. I was thinking about the fire extinguisher when I just moved, but I was not thinking about the first aid kit. So I definitely got to come up off that. I don't know about no boat, you know what I'm saying? But I'm definitely, you know what I'm saying? You told me I got a blow boat. But Harmony was like, she got a blow boat. I don't know. Yeah, Tab, you out here wilding and we got boats.
It's like when say if we have a flood here, and then I'm going to be the only person on my blow-up boat floating down the street.
Flowing down the street like that. Let me get in.
Like, I can't walk. I'm sitting on top of my house. And I'm like, why was y'all thinking? Like, you seen what happened in Katrina. You seen what happened in Haiti. You seen what happened in Houston. You seen what happened in Florida. Like, you don't think it's possible that it can hit you just because you living a good life today? Like, no, you don't ever know what Mother Nature got in plan. And it's even happening beyond the states. Like, look at the tsunamis that happened in China and Japan and all these other places, too. So you just got to be ready. Like, you never know when it's coming your way.
I'm with you on that one, Tab. Definitely. Thank you for that, man. You just dropped some gems. I hope everybody out there about to go get them boots and this first aid kit, courtesy of Tab Money and Tab Money Habits, just plugging you guys all the way in. Yo, Tab, before we wrap this up, man, go ahead and leave them with some gems. I know I kind of swayed from today's lesson plan. I'm sorry. But this was super important to me, and I knew you were the person that I could ask these questions to. So, yes, can you go ahead and drop some gems for us really quick before we wrap it up?
All right, before we wrap it up, because I'm going to still go ahead and propose the question of the day in case anybody calling for this free merchandise. The question of today is, what is group economics?
What is group economics? The question of the day, you guys, Tab Money already proposed it. What is group economics? Economics. I'm about to mess it up. Yo, what is group economics? 215-490-9832. Give us a call to win from Free Revive. Yeah, yo, Tab, we dropped that fall line, man. They not ready for that fall line. We trying to free up ourselves. You hear me? 215-490-9832 to cop this Free Revive gear. What is group economics? We putting that out on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram right now. Give us a call, or you can hit us up in our DMs, or just comment under the picture. Comment under the question of the day so you guys can get this Free Revive gear.
It is actually, I just tweeted the question of the day with a picture, so you are correct. There is a picture with it, so you can post a picture if you like with the question of the day.
I'm about to retweet you.
It kind of gives context. The picture was just like an infographic / comic. It gives context clues of what is group economics that's displayed in other communities. So let's get into making money while you're
really dope graphic, though, Tab. This is really dope. You did this? Oh, no, I said no, Alex L. Artwork. Yeah, I'm going to say, you did this? All right, bet.
You can shout them out, too, for the dope artwork. All right, but getting into making money while you sleep. So I got two different ways of making money while you sleep.
We got a caller. I want to get into this caller, man. We got to get into these callers before you get off the line. Let's see what's up. Yo, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name? And when you? Oh, man, they dropped off already. Tabby was rapping, man.
They dropped off.
All right, what you was about to say?
Oh, They're going to call back. So we're getting into it. I'm going to piggyback off of what Khadijah was talking about last episode. We was talking about compound interest. And compound interest is interest on interest, the result of reinvesting interest rather than paying it out. Interest is earned on the principal sum plus previously accumulated interest. So again, it's interest on interest. So while your interest is make, it's pretty much is while your the money that you put into whatever investment account, the interest that it is making, that interest is making more money. And that's pretty much one way to make money while we sleep. And then examples that I have for that is a savings account with your bank. So not your checking account, but your savings account. So when you put money into your savings account, you actually get compound interest on those deposits. So again, your that interest is also making interest. Another one is money markets accounts, certificates of deposit, which is like CDs, and also money market accounts is accounts that you can get through a brokerage to also do investments such as stocks and ETFs and index funds. Those, the reinvestment that come along with those investments is the compound interest. And then another example that I can personally speak to is zero coupon bonds. My mom bought bonds when I was a baby, and that interest is making interest. And by the time that I withdraw them or cash them out today, I still get the interest on interest plus whatever she deposited or paid to even buy the bond. And my second way that
yo, Tab, before you get into it, we got another caller. Let's get into this caller. Yo, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, she got a turkey. My fault. Hey, how you doing? This is E from She Rockin' City.
What it do, E? You always showing love. What's up? How you feeling?
I got that question of the day because I know these things.
Let's get it. Yo, Tab, reiterate once again what the question is before he gets the answer.
What is group economics?
All right, so group economics is like a form of self-preservation for a community or a group of people, such as the Jewish community. They do it the best. So they make a market based off of what they want to sell and what their supply and demand is for their community and their group. And then it's the system of and circulation of money after that.
Hey, E, you 2 for 2, man.
2 for 2.
Let's go!
Let's go. 2 for 2, man. You about to be fly from head to toe in that free Revive gear, man. That's what's
up. I
also
want to tell y'all how much I love this show because I just missed the chance to talk to this fun lady. Man, she missing now, man. She done disappeared and pulled a Houdini on the brother. Anyway, these are things that we do need to know. So I'm glad that you posed these questions of the day that I can answer. You know, because I'm only 24. You know, I'm a little ahead of my time. But you know, I want people that's listening to know.
You're a little ahead of your time, huh?
Because our group economics is effed up, and we need to get that together today.
I'm with you on that one.
And that's the reason why I proposed the question, so because I want people just to be aware. Because, like you said, like the communities and cultures that practice group economics that are successful are like of the Jewish community, the Asian community, and even the Italians as well.
I'm with you.
And the messed up part about it is they bite a lot of stuff from us. You know, if most of that marketing stuff, even from air conditioners to music and all other things, you know, acting and stuff, most of that is us. If we kept that here instead of exerting it and giving it to everybody else, oh my God.
And that's why we try to bring Tab Money on each and every second and fourth Wednesday so we can educate the people. Yo, E, I got some people that want to clap for you, man, for this free Revive gear. We got to get it popping. Yeah, 2 weeks in a row. Shout out to E-Dawg for getting that free Revive gear. We're going to definitely send that to you in the mail. I appreciate you. Make sure you continue to spread the word, man. We're trying to get more callers into the show so they can cop this free Revive gear, too. And thank you for spreading the dope gems you do each and every Wednesday. Every time you call in, you make sure that you drop a gem before you get on the line.
The love,
thank
man.
You.
You 2 for 2. I'm not excited that you 2 for 2.
I know this stuff, though. Like, you know, it's kind of cheating.
That just means you educating yourself, brother. That's all that means.
Right.
Definitely. Yo, Tabby, we got to wrap this segment up because I got to get into my next guest.
We can't let that.
I'm with you. Yo, Tabby.
All right,
peace, E. Let me wrap this up with the examples of residual income because this is how we make money while we sleep. So the definition of residual income is reoccurring income, income that continues to generate after the initial effort of expending money. So examples are purchasing a rental property and then renting that property out and collecting that rent every month from someone else. Renting out a room in your own home. So that's currently what I do. I have a housemate. I rent out the room and we live together. And it's one way that I can make residual, extra residual income per month. The stock market, like we always talking about, the interest that is made on the stock, that's residual income. Selling merchandise, that's what PLC and I do with Russell Brand, Revive, and College Bound ENT. We sell merchandise so that way we can bring in additional income. Affiliate marketing. So this is what I'm trying to get PLC to do, like, outside of the ads, but it's I kind of learned this from Boyce Watkins as well. But sell other people's platform on your website, and that way you get a percentage of that purchase. So, like, say if I'm selling sweatshirts on True Hearts, Truth Series website, and then every sweatshirt that she sells of mine, she gets an extra 5% for every hoodie that she sells of mine. That's an example of affiliate marketing. And then six, which is like that's lending huge. Clubs, what I want to get to in a whole another episode is peer-to-peer lending, which is a lending club, and how PLC and I have aspirations of creating our own bank system, kind of just for our peers and our family, so we don't have enough capital and income and investments to be able to give loans to our cousins, our nephews, our nieces, our grandmothers, whoever need loans. We can be able to do it peer-to-peer versus doing it through a bank or a loan officer or a mortgage lender, things of that nature. And then my number one way of residual income is just having a side hustle. I'm actually going to send something for 100 ideas for side hustling that people can do, and she can share with you guys. And I'm also going to upload it to the CBE website. And it's supplemental instructions that I got from Derek Grace, too. And I just want to be able to provide that with y'all so y'all can get into finding out your passions and profiting from your passions and figure out what your side hustle can be. Because that's literally what I wanted y'all to understand from this episode today, is just finding your side hustle so that way you can increase your income other than making money, other than your retirement plans. It's which ways can we increase our income?
I'm with you on that one. But the only thing I don't like about side hustlers is don't try to double hustle if you cannot supply the double hustle. Like, that is one of my huge, like, that is a huge pet peeve.
You gotta
for
break
me,
that
man.
Down. You gotta explain that to the people.
Don't be supplying a double hustle if you cannot supply the double hustle. It's simple. Like, don't be out here saying that, you know, I do flyers and I do edits, but then, you know, when it comes down for you to do the edits on a flyer that you created yourself, you're not able to do that because you don't have the software to do that. So you don't do edits, you just do flyers. You know what I'm saying? Don't be out here talking about you got a double hustle and you cannot supply the double hustle is what I'm saying.
All right, cool.
Does that make sense, though?
That's all I got. That makes a lot of sense. I just wanted people to, like, in case they was like, what is she talking about? Because I know exactly what she means.
Oh, yeah, double hustling and can't even supply the double hustle. You know what I'm saying? Are you a singer-songwriter or are you just a singer? You know what I'm saying? You don't write your own songs. Don't be trying, you know what I'm saying, perpetrate. That's all I'm saying.
That's all we saying. So, all right, that wraps up another episode of Tab Money Habits. It's making money while you sleep. I need you to get into compound interest, making investments that allow you to compound your interest, reinvest your interest on whatever you're investing in. And I also need you to work on your residual incomes. No, I'm not talking about the pyramid schemes as your residual income. I'm talking about additional side hustles. I'm talking about affiliate marketing. I'm talking about the stock market. I'm talking about renting a room out in your own house, the Airbnb, get that joint popping. I'm talking about purchasing rental properties in the United States, outside of the United States, wherever tourism is popping. I need you to do your research and figure out how you're going to get this residual income.
Bet.
Make money while you sleep.
Bet, I'm with it. But Tepsa, are you trying to tell me that you can't turn my 200 into 2,000 and don't work like that? That's a scam? Man, people out here falling for that each and every day, man. Please do not follow for that. Please do not fall for that. No one can turn 200 and 2,000 by just going to Walmart. It doesn't work like that, people. Somebody's going to get caught up, Tad. Please tell them stop doing that, man. People still fall. It's 2017, and people still falling for that, man.
If you want to turn that 200 into 2,000, what I need you to do is go get your IRA account.
Talk about it.
IRA, to be exact, and put that 200 in there and watch it turn to 2,000 by the end of the year.
Yes, yes, man. This is your girl, Tab Money with Tab Money Habits, coming live on Revive each and every second and fourth Wednesday, Tab. I appreciate you. I hope you have a great week, and we can't wait to talk to you in the next week.
Peace.
Peace. Man, make sure you guys follow Tab Money on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Tab Money. The O in Tab Money is a zero because she all about them O's. So make sure you guys go follow her, check her out, man. She's always dropping gems each and every day on social media, man. Big up to Tab Money with Tab Money Habits. Go do your homework, man. She's on the platform for a reason. I want to educate and re-educate the listening audience each and every time I get on these airways. And what better way to do that with financial literacy, man? So shout out to Tab Money. We do have our next guest coming on the Revive platform, man. She be hitting them high notes, man. She is a dope artist. See, this is the double hustle I'm talking about. She actually can supply the double hustle, though. That's the difference. So I'm gonna have my girl Ebony coming on right up next after this quick commercial break. She's gonna drop some gems for us. I hope we get to catch a tune from her too as well while she's on these airways, man. We'll be right back. Spread that word, spread that message. We are live on timefromawakening.com/revive from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every winning Wednesday. It's me, your girl POC. We'll be right back.
Brother here, myself, all of us were born with our hair like this, and we just wear it like this because it's natural. Because the reason for it, you might say, is like a new awareness among Black people that their own natural appearance, physical appearance, is beautiful and it's pleasing to them. For so many, many years, we were told that only white people were beautiful. Only straight hair, light eyes, light skin was beautiful, and so Black women would try everything they could, straighten their hair, lighten their skin, to look as much like white women.
Black is beautiful.
this has changed because black people are aware, and white people are aware of it too, because white people now want natural wigs. They want wigs like this. Dig it? Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
All right.
Black is beautiful.
Free her.
Said I want it free.
Free her.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC.
And we are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Once again, spread the word, spread the message. We are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. We go directly to tune in, download the app, or to go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. And meet your girl, POC, live from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every winning Wednesday. And once again, I will be live on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So make sure you guys stay in the loop, stay tuned, and subscribe to that beautiful Revive newsletter that Harmony the Goddess puts together for us each and every month. Sign up. If you scroll down right where it says subscribe, right under the big blue button that you clicked to hear me each and every Wednesday and Sunday, click that link. It's going to take you directly where you need to be. Just drop your email right there. We won't spam you at all. We're just trying to keep you in the loop. We're just trying to get you that information so you can cop that Revive gear each and every day, man. Shout out to Harmony the Goddess for putting that together. Shout out to True Heart as well for holding it down in the studio. She has got them Twitter fingers over here, man. She got them Twitter fingers. Definitely go follow us on Revive _POC on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm tripping over my words all day. But before we jump into our next guest, Ebony, I do just want to give a huge shout out to the month of October. I love when October comes each and every year. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm a big, big, big supporter of breast cancer awareness. My aunt is actual survivor of breast cancer, so I'm like a huge supporter of this. So I just wanted to give that shout out. Also, shout out to Kodak Black too. Kodak Black, if you're someone who listens to hip hop, he actually is doing a t-shirt, a Sniper Gang t-shirt, limited edition pink digital camo. So I think that was pretty dope that he's doing that, because he has, you know, a pretty bad rep, but he's just trying to switch it over just a little bit. So I thought that was pretty big that he's doing that for Breast Cancer Month. But make sure you guys are getting, you know, checks. Make sure you guys are going to get your breast checks and everything like that, because it's really real. More than 249,000 people in the United States are diagnosed with breast cancer each and every year, and more than 41,000 people die from the disease. So this is huge. This is something that is spreading, you know, because like I was just saying, me and Trueheart was talking when we first got on the show. We went to the women's conference yesterday in Pennsylvania, and to see 15,000 women in that conference, we never know what they're going through. You know what I mean? Everyone had a smile on their face yesterday, but we never know what they're going through. So if 249,000 people are affected, let's just think about how many people in that room was affected. You know what I'm saying? One out of eight women in that room was affected. So I think this is huge. I think this is a conversation we all need to be talking about this month. We need to be talking about all year round, but definitely in the month of October is something huge for me. I hope everyone is out there supporting breast cancer by wearing their pink ribbons this month and everything.
The one out of eight women is the statistic that is associated with breast cancer. So it's definitely important that you're not only, you know, going to the doctor to get checked, but you can do self-checks as well. And watch what you're eating.
Definitely watch what you're eating. Definitely, that was a great point, Gerard. Definitely watch what you're eating, because all of that definitely plays a big part of your, you know, your health. So please watch what you're eating and just do your research. Do whatever you got to do and make sure you go to the doctor and get checked up. And you, like she said, you can also do it yourself. So I just wanted to take a moment and speak on that. I'm going to try to drop breast cancer facts every day I get on the air this month, because this is really important to me, and I just want to put that information out there as well, because they even had like a ribbon. No, it was a heart. They had a heart shape where they allow everyone to put a ribbon for whatever kind of cancer, you know, that was affecting them, affecting their family, someone they may know, friends, whoever it may be. And just to see the different colors of cancer, you know, the different ribbons that happen with the different colors, it was just so like mind-boggling to me. I'm like, yo, it's so many different diseases out here nowadays. So I thought that that was huge. What were you about to say, Troy?
It was the exhibition for Lisa's Army, and that was just really powerful because you got to see everyone put up a ribbon for those who have been indirectly and directly affected by it.
Yes, yes. So that was definitely huge. But yes, let's get into our next guest, your girl Ebony, man. She's in Atlanta right now and doing her thing. Yo, True Heart, go ahead and tell the people a little bit about her.
Yes, yes. So Ebony Smith, a.k.a. Frankie, is from Allentown, Pennsylvania. She graduated from East Stroudsbury University of Pennsylvania and received her degree in hospitality management. She currently lives in Atlanta and is just taking new things as they come and learning a lot about herself. She has a passion for being a role model to less fortunate kids, singing, and entertainment. She's been everywhere these past 2 years, but through her blessings, she was able to make it through. Frankie, welcome to the Revive platform.
Yes, hello, and see. Thank you so much. I miss you, girl. How are you?
How are you doing? So you want to be addressed by Frankie tonight. You're in character right now, so I'm gonna address you by Frankie tonight, man. Yes, we gotta put it all in right now, man. How are you feeling?
Frankie
is on the mic.
Good.
You good?
I'm good, man. I'm just like, I'm super, super, super grateful. As you know, like, this past 2 years has been like roller coaster, but right now, like, where I'm at right now, I'm just so grateful. I feel like this is just perfect timing for me to be on this something like this. Like, this is a blessing. So just thank you so much for having me. And,
no doubt.
You know, I feel like this is just our time as Black women and girls to grow and just love on each other. I feel like October is like that month for us to just like love up on each other.
Exactly.
And, so yeah, I'm really excited about like what's coming. And you know, our birthday's coming up.
So your birthday's in October.
Yes, October 23rd, girl. Cusp.
Oh, y'all twins. I ain't know that. Dope. That's what's up. I'm with that. But Frankie, how did you get that name, Frankie? You got to tell us a little bit about it because, you know, we introduced you as Ebony and then, you know what I'm saying, we put on that mode. We back to Frankie now. So you got to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Ebony's my first name. Everybody knows me as Ebony, even the people that know me as Frankie now. But it's crazy because when I was in college, I just was like, I just wanted something different. So I was just, this is why I used to just be chilling in my dorm like, I'm giving myself a name. I'm giving myself a nickname. So I gave it to myself, to be honest. But my middle name is Francis. So that's where it came from.
Okay.
And it kind of touched with me because, you know, I'm like sweet tomboy. You know, I have like different vibes. So I feel like it fit me for like my attitude. But then, you know, so.
I'm with it.
Frankie, Ebony. Yeah. So that was me. No one even gave me that. I made that up for myself. I wanted it that bad.
And that kind of, to be honest, though, that's like the story of Jamie Foxx, because everyone really thinks that Jamie Foxx's real name is Jamie Foxx, but that's not his name.
Yep.
And that's pretty much how he, and that's pretty much how he flipped it, too. He was like, yo, I got to give myself a name. And he came out and was just like, I want to, because everyone, you know, sometimes they think, because he does the character. So he was like, he wanted to have a way that people can feel him to not know who he was going to be when he came out on stage. So he gave a unisex name, which, and that's how he came up with Jamie Foxx. So I thought that was super dope. And that reminded me of it when you told your story. So that's a plus, you know, and he's a legend. You know what I mean? So you definitely about to be a legend. He got little tunes too. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, that kind of makes sense. I do like, you know, I like to do like freestyle. I like to sing. I like to wear, you know, baggy jeans one day. I like to wear a dress the next day. So I feel like Frankie gives everybody an idea of, you know, they're going to see something. It may be something different, but it'll make sense. Because I'm Frankie.
I'm with you. So you got to tell us a little bit about yourself. So Afia, what True Heart did, she broke it down, you know, your back history. But you got to break us down. Like, who are you and what do you do, Frankie? Because I know who you are. I know you, you know, you're a beautiful, beautiful singer. But you got to let the people know, who are you? Like, what do you do?
Well, I've been singing since I was a kid. I grew up in Allentown. It's so weird talking about, like, myself. I haven't done this in such a long time. But, you know, I grew up in Allentown. It was an area where my mom didn't really want us to be at the time because we were young and we were, like, super, super rowdy. So she moved us all to the Poconos where we did school. And from there, I just was kind of like a free spirit. Like, you can catch me anywhere, like, with any crowd, with anybody, just, like, having a good time and, like, just trying to be as positive as I could possibly be. So in like the seventh grade, I started trying to sing. That's where I got the cover favorite from, because in order for me to try to learn, I just would keep listening to different artists and just like doing covers mm-hmm. after covers. But I would never show no one, because I always wanted to find myself first before I introduced it to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yes, I definitely.
Practice my way through with my singing, and then I kind of let it off a little bit. College was really the time where I got it going on. You can ask Sophia. I was so super nervous and shy, but I was doing all of those open mics, and everybody there was showing me so much love, and they were just supporting me, and they were like letting me know, like, you know, like, you got a voice, like, you got to use it. I was always really, really shy and really awkward and like not really knowing what to say, and like having like this alter ego in my head that I just couldn't expose. So now I'm at a point where I'm like ready to
jump out there, let the beast
really
come out,
invite people into my life, you know, and get to know me and shit, you know, stuff like that.
I'm with you on that one. The crazy part is you have to go through those kind of times. You know what I mean? Because you, mm-hmm. you know, especially like you said, you were in college. You were trying to figure out. College is that point in time when you're trying to figure out what you're even going to do with your life. You know what I'm saying? So that's huge that you came out and you're like, this is what I want to do. You know, so what keeps you motivated? Yeah. What influences you to keep doing music, to continue to be an artist? Like what keeps you going? What are your influences?
My family, my mom, my dad. My dad passed away a few years ago, and it's crazy because we weren't very close when he passed, but he always spoke knowledge to me. But I was always hearing him. I just didn't want to really be in his space. So when he passed, it's like, I got a lot of inspiration from him that I didn't even know that I had, just to always, you know, always stay strong, always go with what I want. Don't have to worry about what anybody's thinking about what I'm doing. If I want to write something, if I want to sing something, just do it. My brother does music. He's the reason why I do it. I just be watching him. When I was in high school, I would watch him in his room like every day doing the studio, like an amazing producer. And I'm just like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like, I wonder if I can make this happen. People, like the people that see me and they really just like show me so much love and like just tell me how much I'm inspiring them just through my voice. And it's crazy because sometimes I don't even notice it that I'm doing that to somebody. But that keeps me going. That gets me. That puts me back into my creative zone. That puts me back into my zone where I'm like, no, I want to do this. I'm gonna take some time off. No, I'm not gonna do that today. I'm gonna keep going because
never take time off, man. Yo, yeah, Frankie, never take time off.
Every time I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. A.M. to the P.M. No. Max out. I'm with you on that one, man. You got to get it done. Today's the day. Mm-hmm. Right now is the time. I definitely feel you on that one.
Yep, but today's the day.
So how did you find your voice? Like, I know you say, you know, you did the open mic nights while you were in college. You had people around you who were pushing you to find your voice. But how did you step into your voice? Like, how did you know, you know, you as Frankie, like, yo, I just walked into my voice. Like, I just walked into my greatness. Like, when was that feeling for you?
I was working on a boat. I just did the most random stuff in life, girl. You don't even know. So the job
that makes you a great artist, though. That makes, because Kanye does the same thing. So there's nothing wrong with that. Trust me. That makes you an artist for real.
But it always goes like, I have my hospitality degree. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to go work on it. I was working on like a really small boat, like a private boat for senior citizens. So it was very intimate, very small. It was like 17 of us on the boat. And I spent a lot of time by myself. This was August 2016. I spent a lot of time by myself and just being able to do that. Like, while I'm in my, it came to a point where I was like, my roommate left, so now I got the room to myself. So that was a blessing. So now I'm in there, like, really just saying whatever comes to my head and just saying it out. Like, you got to find your voice. You got to practice it. You can't listen to someone else and try to sound like them. You got to be in a space where you can, like, be by yourself and just let loose and just let your guard down. And I just started writing. That's how I found my voice. I just started like writing and it was flowing and I was just like, wow, this is crazy. This is what happened. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, this is crazy that I wrote this. And then when I sing it back, I'm like, wow, and that's my flow. Like, that's my flow. And I catch myself singing my own flow, or I catch myself switching it up. And I'm just like, from there. So for the past, I've been writing for like a year and a half.
Awesome. So are you done with the covers? So are you done with the covers? You're just doing straight original music from yourself? Like, are you done with the covers? Yeah. Are you still doing covers, or you're just straight?
I do the covers. I have a few songs that I've written myself. So I want to just do like a small project. I don't know, maybe even like a visual project just to like walk people through. I have the covers that I like write my own lyrics to, you know, switch up the flow. Then I have my own song out. I'm not really sure how I want to do it, to be honest with you, but I have it all just bunched up, just like ready to go. I just don't know how I want to present it because I feel like I really want to please people. I really want them to feel something. Like, I really want them to feel how I was feeling when I was writing it, or, you know that I'm not going through that anymore, but I really did go through that, and it really brought me to who I am today. So I just want to make sure that people really grasp what I'm going to be putting out there.
Sounds like you're a perfectionist. Like, it got to be perfect. I ain't let nothing drop until it's perfect. That's what it sound like.
Yeah, but, you know, in the meantime, I make sure, like, I keep myself active because I'm really bad with keeping up with things, but I try to keep myself active. You know, I post videos on Instagram. I'll post, you know, little snippets of this, snippets of that. I'll even write some of my captions will be, like, my lyrics to see, you know, how somebody, you know, somebody liked what I said or something like that. So I kind of test it out in different ways instead of just, like, bam, here goes it all.
I hope
y'all like it. I try to, like, you know, lead them up into my little moment because I'm not even all the way ready yet. So, you know.
Man, but the crazy part is, though, Frankie, man, if you stay ready, you don't have to be ready. You don't have to get ready because you're already going to be ready. Like, take this for example. You got your girl Cardi B right now, number one right now, number one. And she pretty much started doing exactly what you're doing, you know, going on social media, dropping different tracks, putting little projects out, you know, little teasers out for people to grasp the concept and things like that. How do you feel about her come up? Now that I have you on the line, I want to know how you feel about it.
I'm about to post my cover right now and tag y'all in it. I didn't know that yellow.
For real?
I was just posting it as, like, I was on the phone with you guys. I'm about to press share.
I'm with it.
For real. So, but I love it. Like, at first, I was a little adamant, but the fact, no, I wasn't, I said it. I was like, yo, she's going to be, like, she's going. And then I was like, is she, like, oh. But, yo, I'm like, yo, this is.
That's
this
how I feel too.
She did it all by herself. She hustles. She has the best. She has a great personality. She seems like she's like a real dope person. She really be holding her family down. You know, she takes care of herself. Like, she really puts the work in. I believe her when she says she's in the studio till 6 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, she did. It took her, you know, 2 months to do her, 6 months to do her mixtapes. Like, I believe her. I feel like she really put all that work in, and I appreciate it, and it's nice to see. It's inspiring to know that that type of stuff still exists, like hard work still exists, and not just, you know, I got money, so I'm going to get my song on the radio.
Definitely. She,
like,
definitely
that hard work pays off, too, because I know it's paying off for her right now.
Yeah, she definitely is the grinder of the year because she grind crazy for that super. She,
yep,
what she say, she got a bagged and fixed her teeth. Like,
right?
She
right
hopped off.
I'm like, I'm going to see you soon, girl. See you soon, Cardi.
Definitely. And then
wait.
She probably always in Atlanta now because, you know, she's dating Offset, so she's probably always in Atlanta now. So that's big to her.
That'll be dope.
Yeah, she did more. Like, she got a number one hit song, then she got a hip hop music award, she got a BET awards, and then she turned around, performed at the VMAs, and then got a man all in the same year. Her, when she said 2017 was my year, she truly meant 2017
meant
was,
like,
my year.
Whoa,
man, she is popping. And then, you know what I'm saying, to top it off, she got to meet Beyonce. I mean, that's huge. You know what I'm saying? To be a Cardi B, you know, because everyone at first looked at her as a stripper. Everyone looked at her like,
oh,
as, you know, a hip,
her,
a loving hip hop person. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to get praise from likes of Beyonce, Janet Jackson even performed Bodak Yellow on stage. You know how big that is? So shout out to Cardi B. But my question, to
people
flip it a little bit.
That it's all about being a real artist. Cardi B is not a fake artist. That's why they have no choice but to love her.
Exactly. I love it. Like, she doing things that Nicki Minaj will never do, in my opinion. I don't think Nicki Minaj is ever going to be able to top a Cardi B, because if that's the case, then Nicki would have already done it. You know what I'm saying? Because Nicki had a time where there were no female artists out there. You know, no female artist can top a Nicki Minaj. She was putting out track after track after track, and it just did not go, you know, number one on the billboards. You know what I'm saying? But Cardi, she did it by herself. She beat out Lauryn Hill. You see what I'm saying, Frankie?
Yeah,
like,
Cardi's a whole different
ballgame
type of artist. Yeah,
no one can do it. I'm with you on that one. But to flip it a little bit, like, are you ready for that grind, though? Like, are you ready for that Cardi B grind? Like, are you ready to put in those 6 hours, those 10 hours in the studio? Are you ready for that non-sleep, that non-stop grind, that gritty grind that keeps you going so you can get to the growth that you're looking for in life? Like, are you ready
Hell
for that?
Yeah, I'm all the way ready. I'm already put myself in the moments to experience it. Like, you ready for this, girl? Because this is not about to be a game. So make sure you're ready. Make sure that every time I sing, I'm singing person there. Like, make sure you're, you know, performing and giving these people something to take home. Like, I had my first event, my first Bay Mix, and like maybe under 15 people came, but that place was lit. Like, it was lit. I didn't feel like, oh, it's only a couple people here, so I'm just gonna chill, you know, let them. No, I gave them the same exact energy I would have given.
I love it.
About.
I love it.
So I just, you know,
and you
I'm
called it a Bay Mix.
What I'm supposed to be doing,
Frankie? Yeah, you called it like, a Bay Mix. What's a Bay Mix?
Bay Mix. It is the business, and it's my little baby. It is it's an organization, program, however you want to flip it. It's a whole bunch of different things, but it's business and entertainment, and it's mixing business and entertainment. I started it off with wanting to have, like, networking parties where I'll have a Bay Mix, play some dope playlist music, have food and drinks, and all types of entrepreneurs from all different angles and entertainers and people in the all different types of industries. They just come and they connect and they collaborate. Like, if, for instance, if we were there and, I, you know, you came there for the first time, you would see somebody there that had something that you wanted to, you know, collab with, and now you could be there, you know, mix and mingle and just get to know each other and fill out the vibe and just be in a nice upward position and just work, like, so make, you know, network and make things happen.
So it's pretty much like a jam session. Like, you just come and you vibe and you know, you put on music and people do what they do. If they're artists, you know, if they have some kind of artistic skills or ability, they come up and be able to present that for the listening audience.
Not even really. It's just going to be like a mixer. Everybody's there with some maybe a say, for instance, you had a cocktail in your hand and some, like, a little hors d'oeuvre, and I sing and you do radio, but we're collabing, you know, we're just there discussing.
Awesome.
You know, we're just there, like, discussing and collabing and, like, you know, talking about what we're going to be doing in the future. Like, everybody will have a chance to introduce themselves, of course, that way people can know who they're, you know, who they're approaching, but it'll be more on, like, the entertainment side. And then maybe one of them, you know, my first one I perform just so I could showcase my music, and then when I have another one, I'll have, you know, say, for instance, you'll be there doing a live at the Bay Mix.
Oh, I'm coming. You just spoke that into existence for me, man. I'm coming now. I'm just going to take that as my invitation, Frankie.
Yes, girl. Like, I'm trying to. That'll be so dope. I would love it. Like, that would be super dope.
That's definitely not working on that one.
It's just a way for everybody to just network. And it'll be in different states. You know, one time in Tampa, I want to have one in Atlanta. I want to have one in New York. I want to have one in Cali. And
don't forget about Philly, man. You got to come to Philly. Show love.
Oh, Philly. I got to have one in Phily for sure. Like,
so that's huge. So this is what I say when I say double hustling, man. You cannot provide, you know, you can't say you're double hustling and don't provide the double hustle. And this is exactly what you're doing. You are providing the double hustle. So you're not just someone who creates music. You're not someone who's just singing the music. You're someone who's also giving a platform for other people who are artists to come together and showcase their talents and just be around that environment of people, like-minded people such as yourself. That is amazing. How did you even come up with the name Bay Mix? So that just sounds like a place that everyone wants to get to
is,
find their bay. You know what I'm saying?
It's also crazy how this all, like, yo, my life is crazy. So I had a job where I was a house manager. I was in Tampa. I was working with 20 homeless high school minority kids. And I was a house manager. Like, imagine me being a house manager. They were hyped. Like, oh, my God, it's a house manager. But these kids, their stories were like, oh, my God, like, so it would make you so emotional, like the things that these kids went through, from like their parents not wanting them to be, you know, physical and mental abuse, to the mom, you know, leaving them for the boyfriend, like those types of stories. And these kids, they're just given a second chance to live in this facility where they'll, you know, they're getting rides to school, they're able to go to school now, and all these kids want to go to school, they just can't because it's unfortunate that they don't got nobody to hold them down.
Mm-hmm.
So working with them just made me realize, like, yo, I want these kids to do it. Like, I want these kids to know that just because that you're in a situation does not mean that you can't, you know, do exactly what you want to do. It doesn't mean that you have to look a certain way. You know, I was working with the girls. I'm doing their hair. Like, I'm making sure they look nice because a lot of them didn't have that self-esteem because of what they've been through. So I was there to be able to just keep everybody's spirits up and just keep everybody in, like, a kind of just keep their youth and not forget that they're still kids. So that made me want to do this. It kind of made me want to do this and, you know, invite the kids sometimes so they could just see us, that they could see what they could be and they could just be able to talk to us, or
that's awesome,
just have that, you know, just have that on in their back pocket. But the way I came up with it, I was
Hold on, before you jump into the way you came up with it, what is some of that motivation that you would give them, though? Like, tell us one quick motivation tip that you would give us, give them, I'm sorry, and then go ahead and tell us how you came up with the name.
Oh, it was I'll give you an example. One of the kids, his name is Ramsey, and he saw me singing around the house, and he'll come in the office like, I really want to write a song. Like, I'm really scared. I just don't know what to do. And instead of, I'm in this phase where I'm just going through so much growth, where I'm just like, you got to just get in your moment. Like, get in your moment.
I love
like,
it.
If you're sad, if you want to write a sad song, get in your bag. Like, if you want to write a happy song, get like in this type of bag. I just gave him motivation and like something that he could go and learn off of, and not just me saying do this and this, and that'll make you a singer. You know what I mean? I kind of just gave him that motivation to say like, wow, I'm really gonna do it. This boy got 16 videos. He worked his butt off at his job to get an iPhone. He has an iPhone now. Now he's able to record his videos, post them. Like, I'm like, wow, you really learned something from me, and I appreciate it. Like, it made me feel good that he took off what I said in a motivational way and kind of like, applied it to his life.
I'm with it. I'm with it. That was huge, man. Because I definitely encourage everyone, put back into the youth, educate the youth, speak to the youth, listen to the youth. And most importantly, out of that example that you told us, you listen to them. You listen to what he had to say so you can help him get to where he was going in life. So that's huge.
Yeah.
You never know. He's going to break out and be the next Tyrese or somebody. So that's big for you. Like, thank you for that.
Keep their hopes up, because these kids don't think they're going to make it anywhere. Like, they'll say it. I'm like, no. What do you you don't let that come out of your mouth. You're tripping. This is temporary. Like, this isn't gonna be forever. You just gotta trust the process and just keep going.
Look at you dropping gems. I hear you dropping gems. You gotta trust the process for real. Definitely trusting the process is a huge, a huge point in life. Like, you have to be able to trust that. And I think that's amazing that you were able to speak to that young man, and help to guide him in doing that. So that's huge. Continue to speak up to the youth, definitely. But tell us how you came up with Baymix, though.
So I was trying to plan something. Like, I was, this was in like the beginning of August, and I'm like, I want to have something. I am not doing it because I'm just not doing it. Like, let me just try it. So in a week, I planned it. I was in the bed just trying to figure it out. So I'm like, all right, what could it be? Like, it's definitely going to be a mixer. Like, I had everything brainstormed of how I wanted what I wanted to be included in it. So I'm like, okay, I started off with, my brainstorm. That's good. And I'm like, I just said it out loud. I was like, Baymix. Like, what?
I love it.
Like, it's like somebody said to me, I was like, the Baymix. I'm like, business and entertainment. Okay, Bay. It was like, Bay, that's cute. Like, Bay is life. Or I was in Tampa Bay. Like, everything just made sense at the time. So I'm like, the Baymix. And it's cute. It's like, it's me. So I'm like, this is perfect. And I love
entertainment. Business
people.
And
I love
entertainment.
Seeing people have a good time. And I feel like this is just like the perfect platform for me to like grow off of and expand on.
Ooh, that gotta be like the name of your first EP or something too. Like, it
I
just
know.
Sounds sexy now that you gave me the definition to it. Business, like, whoa, that's just crazy. Business and entertainment, like, that's creative and thinking. And then for you to be in the Bay, Tampa Bay, like, all of that, just to full circle. That's that was
it's
universal.
A sign. It's a sign.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was super universal. Definitely, I'm with you on that one. So.
Yeah.
Frankie, before I let you go today, I do want you to, can you give us a little sample? Is it possible you can give us a cover, something of you, if something original straight from you, whatever it may be, just give us a little sample before we wrap up today.
All right. Here we go. This is called Say, and I wrote it because do things opposite, and I was writing a love song, and it was more sad than it was happy. So I just kind of wrote it as if I was, if this was a dream, this would be my fantasy. So baby, come a little closer, I just want to wrap you up and chop it up and let your mind sink into mine. I can hold ya, this chemistry is out of line. Why all my worries seem to leave, and not to mention that your style's I see. Hey, say, you know what? just roll up. I just want to show you some love. He said, well, hold up. My dude just told me that they've been meant to leave just how I like. Say so you'll be ready in 30. Don't even worry.
Whoa, you had me over here like I'm like, yo, Trueheart, that's your friend, that's your friend. Like, yo, that's huge, man. I love it. I see you going in so many different directions, man.
Oh,
you have you have a destiny. Trust me, you are going to get where you are going to be. And I know that for a fact. Your voice is so mellow and so serene, man. That's amazing. That's amazing. Make sure you guys
thank
go
you so
follow
much.
Go ahead, give you a shout out. I'm about to give you a shout out from me, but I wanted you to go ahead and give yourself a shout out. Tell the people they can follow you, where they can find more music, how they can reach out to you if they want you in any event.
Yes.
Any, she's traveling, man. She's out here, man. Make sure you guys follow her right now. Put your email out there just so they can come right now and full and direct. You hear me?
You know, like, anybody want to do anything? If anybody wants to make any moves, give me some songs that you want me to cover right now while I'm in the process of doing all of this. My email is hi@imfrankie.s, as in Smith. hiimfrankie.s@gmail.com. And my Instagram is _hiimfrankie. It's a, it is, who is a Dragon Ball Z character? I forget who he is, but it's me. So don't be alarmed.
Don't be alarmed.
Twitter and my Snapchat will probably, it'll be on my Instagram. So if you just go on my Instagram, you'll find everything there. So again, yeah, DM me, give me some, you know, tips, give me some songs, give me, if you want to collab, let's go. I'm in Atlanta, so let's do it.
Yes, and we cannot forget about this Bay Mix. Go ahead and give Bay Mix a shout out,
yes,
too, because you got a different page for them. So we got to plug you all the way,
yes,
in.
You can follow me on the Bay Mix, and over there you'll see where I had my first event. And the kids that you see will be the kids that I love so dearly. So if you want to head over there, you'll get a little experience of how that was. But it'll kind of give you an idea of how it will be in the future. A room full of young entrepreneurs just, you know, having a good old time.
Getting
so
it in.
Thank you everybody for your support, and I truly, truly appreciate you guys.
Man, I truly appreciate you coming on tonight. Thank you for that beautiful way of ending my show, man. That just got my heart all pumping. I'm like, I'm ready for the next show already. I cannot wait to collab with you. I cannot wait to even meet you in person and definitely collab in the
wait.
Near future.
It's gonna be super dope.
Yes. Yes, I can already feel it. Yes, I'm about to say I can already feel it.
I'm doing the Harlem Shake.
Definitely,
and
man.
Fee, thank you so much, girl. Fee's been the best since college. Like, I remember the day. I remember how we met. So Fee, you the best.
Thank
and,
you. I love you. I love
I
you too.
I love you, and I can't wait to see you soon.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Keep up the good work. We'll talk soon.
We will.
No doubt. And Frankie, man, I wish you all the best. We're going to collab really soon. I'm definitely going to come to Atlanta so I can make sure that I do my show live at one of these Bay Mix.
Yes.
I'm trying to be in the room with you, man. I'm trying to sit at the table with you. So definitely pull me up a chair because I'm coming, all right?
Yes, girl. I'm about to follow on all platforms as we speak.
Definitely. Have a great week, and I'll speak to you soon.
You too. Be safe. Peace out.
Peace. Yes, yes, yes. But before we wrap up, I do want to get to this caller right here. I do think it's E. Yeah, I got to bring E back on, man. This is the second week in a row. He always showing love. So I got to show love to him as well. I forgot to let him give himself a shout out earlier. So E, go ahead and give yourself a shout out before we wrap up tonight's show. Man, wrap up the show for me. Go ahead and wrap up the show for me tonight, E.
Thank you all for tuning in. This is one of my personal favorites, you know, POC. And we had, you know, Tab Money Habits, if you missed that, I think they allow you to replay that thing. So go ahead and do it. If you were just tuning in, if you came in late, if you was at work, if you was in the car, you couldn't get to your phone, couldn't get to the internet, your Wi-Fi tripped out, any of that. All right, I got an EP dropping October 21st. As you can find it on SoundCloud. It's called She Rockin', no space, capital S, H-P, capital R-O-C, K-I-N. All right, you know what I'm saying? Check that joint out. It's going to be out there October 21st. You can find me on Instagram, Samurai_Samurai_7G. She
rocking, y'all.
She rocking. He goes by the name Detrimental. Make sure you guys follow my boy. He come on here. He be all modest. His name is E. Yes, of course. But he go by Detrimentals. Yo, E, before you leave, man, we just had somebody drop, you know, some beautiful melodies for us. Go ahead and drop some bars for us. Go ahead and give us something, man. You wrapping up the show tonight, man. It's a winning Wednesday on Revive. Go ahead and finish it off with some more winning.
All right. Say no more. I'm about to give you something fresh. We robbing kind of hard, but I know you got a man. And at this current moment, I do not know where we stand. The feeling that you giving me, I wish that it was scream. But that shit feeling dope is when you rhyme to your jam. I see you on the snap, and that ass be looking fast. See you flexing on the gram and give you a double tap. But you look way better in person. Nobody disputing that. But you got a situation that kind of shit is a trap. Because you're really involved, which means your feelings involved. If I'm hitting your walls, then me, y'all shit would devolve. Is there a risk in it all? Because you got love with old dogs. With me, it's just stupid. I give you that, then I'm gone. As the word, there was likely to be some side effects. The sight of green may slightly make your vagina wet. If you don't hit the right spot, you're going to be trying to jet. And I'm going to just keep it moving, baby, because I'm a vet.
Hey, she rocking. That's your boy Detrimental. Man, I appreciate your support. We're going to make sure we give you that Revive gear. Make sure you spread the word once again. It's me, your girl, POC. I go live each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And I'll be back on your airwaves at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. This Sunday, your girl, POC, will be live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go to TuneIn and just download the app or the website. Click Meet Your Girl, POC, each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Yo, True Heart, go ahead and give yourself a shout out.
This is your girl True Heart. You can email me at highlevelcommunication@gmail.com and follow High Level Communication on all social networks. However, if you do follow now, just note that it is a work in progress and under construction, but I will be revisiting the page on January 7th, so stay tuned.
You got excuse right here on your forehead. Just say excuse. Yo, Harmony, what it do, what it do, what it do, man? Go ahead and give yourself a shout out.
Peace and blessings to everyone. You can definitely email me at harmonythegoddess@gmail.com. Also follow me on Harmony the Goddess on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
Definitely, definitely. And if you want to be a guest here on Revive as well, yo, Harmony, how can they hit you up so they can be a guest here on Revive?
So you can definitely email me at harmonythegoddess@gmail.com, or you can email revive.poc@gmail.com or anyone on the Revive team. But definitely you can email me at harmonythegoddess@gmail.com.
Yes, yes, yes. We'll be back live this Wednesday on your airwaves. Once again, it's me, your girl, POC, host of Revive. And make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. And definitely, definitely, definitely subscribe to that beautiful, beautiful Revive newsletter that Harmony did not mention that she puts together for us each and every month. So make sure you guys go subscribe to that Revive newsletter so you can stay in the loop about what's going on here on Revive. I know you guys want to stay in the loop. I'll be right back on Sunday. It's me, your girl, POC.